الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. I voted today, so I encourage everyone to go and vote. I'm not going to tell you who I voted for, but you just look at the different candidates and the different parties and look for the party that stands for our rights. And you basically, this election is kind of tough, so you have to vote for the best of the worst. Today, inshallah, we'll talk a little bit about dua, because I got a question earlier today about dua. And here is the thing, when I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I'm looking for a job, I say, Allah, give me a job. If someone wants to get married, they say, Allah, give me a wife or a husband. If someone got laid off, they always pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in difficult times and so on and so forth. And the question was, I feel very selfish, like I'm turning my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into a crisis line. I only call Him if I need something, right? And the answer was, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for. And if you look at the Quran, all the prophets made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Zakaria prayed for a son. Nuh alayhi salam prayed for assistance. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for help. And every prophet prayed for something different in this life. One of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, Allahu Samad. The meaning of a Samad, yani as-sayyidu alladhi yusmadu ilayhi fil hajat. He is a master that everyone is asking for help, that everyone needs, that everyone relies upon, but he doesn't need anyone. This is the meaning of As-Sayyid subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also when you read in Surah Rahman, يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that everyone stands in need of. Everyone needs him. Even hatta the people who deny his existence, they stand in need of him. Even if they don't pray to him, yani people like Karl Marx and people are like Stalin and Lenin, they say that God doesn't even exist, but they still need him for the breath they breathe, they still need him for the food they eat and the water they drink, even without asking him. But because he created us, he provides for us in this dunya. So when you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you make dua to him from your own perspective. Yes, you are asking for this and this and this, but from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's perspective, you are not being selfish, you are doing the right thing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it when people make dua to him. And as I said before, from the in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when people make dua to him, they acknowledge his 99 names and attributes. So when they say, Allah, give me this and this and this, they acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one in charge. He is the one who is in charge, and he has everything in his hands. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. You're praying to the one who is in charge. You pray to the living because you don't pray to the dead. And you acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one because you're not praying to anyone else. You acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears and sees everything. You acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ar-razzaq. You acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control. He is running the show. So you're praying to the one, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is from the perspective of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he loves it. And he's telling us in the Quran, make dua to me all the time. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اِدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Make dua to me, I'll answer your dua. And what is amazing about dua, like when I look around here in this masjid, you guys see each other's back, right? But I see you guys from the front. So I see in front of me a mosaic of people and nationalities when we stand in salah. And when I talk to you, like before or after salah, hey, how are you doing? كيف حالك? Aap kaise hain? Nasilson, you know, Skorin and so on and so forth. Everyone speaks a different language. And when you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you make dua to him in your own language. So now imagine if someone is making dua to Allah in Arabic, in English, in French, in Urdu, in Somali, whatever language you speak. And people are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every country, in every continent. So people in Brazil, they are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like people in France, and Muslims in Egypt, and people in Afghanistan, and people in China, and Muslims in Shibinilkum, everywhere. In every country, in every continent, everyone is making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their own language. And when you think about it, the way it works, it is not like we're all standing in a line and everyone will get the answer for dua in the order of their arrival, like first come, first serve, it doesn't work like this with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like some of the ulama, they mentioned the story of the man during the Hajj. He was the first to come to the Kaaba and he made dua and he said, Ya Allah, answer my dua before they overwhelm you with their dua. It doesn't work like this with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ali ibn Abi Talib and some of the Sahaba, they said, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers your dua in dunya, the way he gives you rizq, he's giving rizq to everyone at the same time, he's answering dua for everyone at the same time, and he's judging us on Yawm al-Qiyamah all at the same time. Now, if you have a computer in your house, you can do different things at the same time. You can watch a YouTube video, you can start a Microsoft Office, you can listen to an audio, you can do different things, calculate at the same time, and this is our creation. It does several things, multitasking at the same time. We're talking about our creation. What about our Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who was Samad? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all of our dua and give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come. We'll continue this line of thinking tomorrow, inshallah. The question for last night was, it says in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran fi laylatil qadr. But we know that the Quran was revealed over a period of 23 years. So the answer is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran from al-lawh al-mahfuz on laylatil qadr, but it came down to the Prophet ﷺ over a period of 23 years. And the ulama also say the first portion of the Quran, اِقْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ, came down on Laylatul Qadr. But the rest came after. But the beginning of the revelation was on Laylatul Qadr, but it continued for another 23 years. So just like when you move to Mississauga, you moved on a certain day, but you have been here for a long time. So we'll talk about the day of arrival, or the beginning of your stay here. And the winner for tonight is Dr. Usama. It's for you. Malish. Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah bik ahsant. Jazakallah khair. So the question for tonight, say for example you are traveling to Afghanistan, Zindabad, and you are going to break your fast because you can't fast. It's a long travel and you need to break your fast. When do you break your fast? Do you break your fast at home before you leave? Say for example your flight at Asr, you are leaving at Dhuhr. Do you break your fast at home or you break your fast at the airport? If you know the answer, email me before tomorrow Asr at Imam Mustafa at AnatoliaCenter.ca. Jazakallah.